What's better than pizza? Pizza and wings. Did you know our chicken wings come from chicken raised without antibiotics? It's all part of our pure promise to serve you the best tasting products. Ciao, I'm Dominic Primucci, inviting you to taste the difference.
439-444-PIZZA-NOVA.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Lots of great tweets this morning. Jose Bautista and the Toronto Blue Jays nearing a deal, according to multiple sources. John Heyman and Jesse Sanchez. Jesse had it first. And we asked you on Twitter. Did you just change the channel to the Australian Open?
Yeah, I did. Eugenie Bouchard's playing.
I don't want to watch tennis.
She's up 1-0.
I don't care. I don't want to watch ladies' tennis.
Well, it's, the listeners care what Eugenie Bouchard's doing.
I don't think the majority of people do. I think people want to know what's going on with Jose Bautista. Yeah, but I can't follow that when there's ladies' tennis on. It's distracting.
I love Sportsnet Central, and it's my number one destination for all highlights, but I doubt they're going to break in with Jose Bautista news at 7 o'clock in the morning.
How do you know?
It's on right now.
Yeah.
Ben Nicholson-Smith talking with Jackie and
Brian. I have the same clip I'm about to play.
Did you just take the remote from me, as a matter of fact, and change the channel?
Ooh, yeah, you were.
I think you did.
I'm not watching.
How dare you?
I'm not watching tennis.
If you're that sensitive about it, Dean, here's the remote.
That's right.
There you go. Change the channel.
Wait a second.
I'll update people. Yeah, exactly. I will update the people via the internet then.
Yeah, that's what we decided this morning, and then you went and changed the channel. You're like,
well,
one of my kids.
Playing.
No, but I said that this morning. Like I say to my kids, leave your phone.
I have
down, leave
no
your
problem.
iPad, leave your phone downstairs. Don't take it to bed.
I
then you go to bed, and it's underneath your pillow. And you're like, what did I just say? I said, please don't take that upstairs to bed. I said to you, please, I don't want to watch ladies tennis this morning. Ben Nicholson-Smith is on right now, Sportsnet Central, all things sports, my favorite sports everything.
I have no problem watching
and
Jackie and
with
Brendan
possible
for the eighth loop.
With possible Jose Bautista breaking news that he might re-sign with the Toronto Blue Jays for a year to 2 years. No specific numbers yet. And you want to watch ladies tennis?
Are you losing your hearing or are you just stupid?
This is from at Terry Wellbanks on Twitter. He said, Dean is right. No one wants to hear about tennis.
You are correct, Dean. Well,
Terry said it. I mean,
yeah, that's
sorry.
True.
Terry Welbeck. Sorry, Terry.
But we asked you this question before we get to George's update. Jeff Merrick standing by as well around 7:15 this morning. Before we get to this, we asked you the question on Twitter. With the news that the Jose Bautista is nearing a deal with the at Blue Jays, has me like, and then you go ahead and finish the tweet. It's hashtag finish the tweet.
Nice.
It's interactive is what it is.
We're so social media savvy here.
Note to Booster Juice, Bautista Blast back on the menu.
That's a good one.
Is there an actual drink called Bautista? There's got to be.
I hope not.
Bautista Blast at Booster Juice? There's got to be.
I don't know. I drink coffee, water, or alcohol.
That doesn't sound appealing, Dean.
You don't have a Bautista Blast?
Doesn't
it's coffee, it's coffee, water, or rye.
Right.
Added, Steve Blundell is right. No one wants to hear about tennis. Did I read that one yet? Troy.
Terry.
Sorry. Troy says, hashtag finish the tweet. News that at Joey Batch is nearing a deal with the Blue Jays has me believing the Jays have a time machine.
Do.
That's pretty good. Brad Seftel says he better play like pissed off Jose all year. Yeah, I like me some pissed off
Everyone
Jose.
Loves him.
News that Jose Bautista and Blue Jays nearing a deal has me, quote, relieved. This is from Long and Suffering. The guy gets on base like crazy, plus he'll be super motivated to prove teams wrong and make some dough.
We thought that last year he was going to be super motivated.
Well, he was injured. It wasn't like he wasn't motivated. You keep motivated when you're injured.
The circumstances.
It was just circumstances.
Okay.
Has me like, Jose will hit 43 home runs. Book it.
Do we all forget the dad injury he had with his knee?
Remember that when he threw it and fell down?
Yeah. That guy looks like he's ready to dominate in 2017.
Paul Johnson says, it's a start. The news that Joey Batch is nearing a deal with the Blue Jays has me like, hashtag finish the tweet. This is from Mitchell And he's got a gif of Dorothy rubbing her ruby shoes together.
Mm.
Wizard of Oz. Little Wizard of Oz.
That's so weird.
Tell George to put some respect back into my name. I don't know what that means.
What?
Adam Cassidy says, confused. We're older and slower every offseason. Shapiro, Atkins have done the opposite of what they said they were going to do. To your point.
That's hashtag real talk right there.
Hashtag real talk.
That's definitely right there.
Graffiti Buffer says, has me flipping my bat. See, it's funny because I would have thought this news that he's nearing a deal with the Blue Jays would have been met with, like, you know, extreme gratitude on behalf of the fans. It would have been met with, like, yay. And some of that, right? Some cheering, some excitement from the fans.
Extreme gratitude is a little much.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, they would have overreacted like fans do, where they're like super stoked he's back. Yes, it's, you know, he's still got lots of you know, gusto left. He's only 36, even though he's 36. But he can still hit the ball. He still gets on base. But our fans are sad. Like, Blue Jays fans are smart. Savvy group of people. They get it. They get that this team isn't any younger or more left-handed like they set out to be. Not that that is the be-all, end-all, because I still think this team's going to be really good. Remains to be seen. But, you know, the best option at the best possible price, knowing that they've driven the market down with everybody else, it kind of just stands to reason it's the most logical decision to make at this point. And I think fans know that. I think they're smart enough to go, hey, let's not get too head over heels in love with this team yet. Who knows what he's going to be? And they knew the plan, and it was sold to them like, hey, this is a good thing for the team to move on. But at the same time, Jose Bautista at a reduced price on this team, not a bad deal.
Dean, I think the fans feel like they were dating Jose Bautista. They moved in with him. They lived together. And then they knew the breakup was coming. So they broke up with Jose Bautista. So they were looking for other places to live. So eventually they're like, you know, and I'm really tired of looking for a new place to live. Let's just get back together and stay together because I just don't want to move. That's essentially what this Jose Bautista move is. I thought there were greener pastures. I thought we moved on from one another. Ah, screw it. I'm just going to stay here with you.
Yeah, well. Mutual need is what it's called.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's like a couple that decides they're going to get divorced and then they realize they're not going to get any better with anybody else. Then they get back together. It's the same thing.
So they're stuck in a loveless relationship.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is.
You can just hope that once in a while they have a really great time and good things happen, and sometimes it won't. But at the same time, it's good news if you're a Jays fan because it's the production you need in that position. Anyway, 709, lots to get to. Let's get to it. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Park and Fly. You talked about it. The tweet happened around 11:30 last night. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com had this quote, source, hashtag Blue Jays have emerged as the front runner for Jose Bautista. He's nearing a deal with the club. Hashtag Toronto at MLB. Sportsnet.ca baseball editor Ben.
I think it's even funny that they call it front runner.
Yeah.
There's no other runners.
Yeah, it's basically.
It's easy to be the front runner.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, Sportsnet.ca baseball editor, tells us, probably look familiar in right field.
This definitely sets the Blue Jays infield up for next year. I mean, this is a group that lost a couple of players, and now Bautista slots in, presumably, as that right fielder if this deal is completed. So, alongside Kevin Pillar, left field would still be a question, but Bautista is someone we're so familiar with, could end up being that right field option for the Blue Jays again next year.
Yeah, the 36-year-old Bautista hit 22 homers and posted an .817 OPS during an off year in which he battled multiple injuries. All right, let's get to some football. Great games yesterday. Let's start first in Dallas as the Cowboys and Packers played. It was Mason Crosby, the hero in the dying seconds.
51-yard field goal attempt, snap, placement, kick to the uprights, and it is right down the middle. It is good, and the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Mason Crosby booted a 51-yard field goal as time expired as the Packers beat the Cowboys 34-31 in a play, Dean, that was set up Aaron Rodgers to Jared Cook, who just got his 2 feet down, toe drag swag, incredible play in a 35-yard pass. Packers knock out the Cowboys. Dak and Zeke are gone, and Aaron Rodgers just continues to get it done. 356 yards and 2 touchdowns. Packers have won 8 straight games. They will face the Atlanta Falcons next week in the ATL in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, is it since December, or in their last 12 games? Was it their last? I can't remember. They're 8-0. In the span that they're 8-0, the Green Bay Packers are 8-0. The Falcons are 6-1. And their stats are virtually the same. Same amount of passing yards, yards allowed, rush yards. I mean, these are two really good teams that deserve to be there. You sort of feel for Dallas because it would have been a nice story, right? The rookies played pretty well, specifically in the second half of that game. They played really well, not to be seen in the first half. And it would have been great for an upstart team like Dallas. But at the same time, I'm happy Matt Ryan has a chance to compete to get into a Super Bowl because he's got a resume that dictates he probably should have been in one already. Right? Like, he really does. He's had some wonderful seasons. He's largely been let down by defense, which has been non-existent, you know, by and large, until the last, what, 2-3 years, and they've really started to put it together. And watching what he and Julio Jones have done have been great. It'll be exciting to see how they can produce, if they can produce in a big game, and if they can make it to a Super Bowl, because I really like Matt Ryan, and he's been... you know, the face of that franchise. He's one of the nice guys in the NFL, too. He really is.
You saw what they just barbecued. The Legion of Boom was just barbecued by Matt Ryan and the Falcons. And you think of that game right away on Sunday. How much offense is going to be played in that game? Because Aaron Rodgers looks out of this world. I can't remember the last time we've seen quarterback play like this. Yeah. Out of a guy. Can you honestly?
The last four quarterbacks that are standing in the NFL playoffs... are for sure three of the best the game's ever seen. Say what you like about Roethlisberger. And
No.
I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is one of the best the game's ever seen. Obviously, Tom Brady goes without saying, so you just leave him. But Ben Roethlisberger, how many Super Bowls he got? Three?
He's got two Super Bowls?
Yeah. He's got two Super Bowls.
He's 2-1. He lost to Rodgers.
That's right.
Ben Roethlisberger is tremendous. And just hope Matt Ryan can continue this next season. But when you look at the offense, I think maybe Brady in the perfect season is the last time we've seen quarterback play out of a guy like this. Because I can't remember the last time we saw somebody play this good at the quarterback position. Oh, and by the way, he didn't have his number one weapon, Jordy Nelson, who was up with a rib injury.
Right. Yeah, 8-0 since Rodgers said we got to run the table. He, in his last 9 games, Aaron Rodgers, 24 touchdowns, 1 interception in 313 passes. Unbelievable, which... to me, lends the question, I think it's a poll question today as well. Okay, with these 4 quarterbacks that are remaining, who would you want as your quarterback right now for the next 2 games? Is it as simple as Aaron Rodgers because he's that hot? Is it Tom Brady, the legend? Is it Big Ben, who's noted for being pretty clutch? Not so much in the last few years, but he's playing at an elite level as well. And then you have Matt Ryan, who will probably win NFL MVP. And man, was he ever good!
Yeah,
in that game against Seattle.
Yeah, he's terrific.
You know, one of the best defenses football.
Do you take Tom Brady out of that? Because it's a gimme if you put Tom Brady in there, right? Everybody's going to take Tom Brady.
I don't know what the
way Rodgers
is playing.
Really?
I might take Rodgers right now.
I think Rodgers, like I said, I haven't seen this in years.
So if you're just going on performance this season and in the playoffs to date,
are you going on
pedigree and years past and championships won? Are you using those? Just to date, this year, which quarterback do you want?
Right now, who do you want the next couple of weeks?
All right. Yeah, I like that one.
And you can even
you gotta take out past history and everybody's Super Bowls. You gotta take performance this year.
You can take everything into account. It's just who you want, because a lot of people are going to take Brady because what he's done.
But you can say Brady played the worst this weekend.
Yeah, he did.
Out of all those 4 guys.
He had 2 touchdowns, a couple interceptions.
There were a couple quackers out there, too.
Yeah,
really
he did.
Weird.
Yeah.
But Jadeveon Clowney was in his grill the whole time. He played tremendous. Hey, let's quickly get to that Steelers game. It was a playoff record for field goals.
43-yard field goal attempt for Chris Boswell's on its way. The kick is up, and that kick is good. And with 6 field goals, he adds to his record.
Yeah, Chris Boswell kicked 4 field goals. That was a postseason record as the Steelers held off the Chiefs 18-16. The score is maybe a little closer than what the play dictated. Pittsburgh dominated this game, just couldn't get into the red zone. The Steelers will meet the Patriots in Foxborough next Sunday night in the AFC Championship game. That one will get going just after 6 o'clock. Let's quickly get to the Raptors before we get to Jeff Merrick. DeMar DeRozan scored 23 as the Raptors beat the Knicks 113-101 in a game that was not as close as the score dictates. Raptors 8-0 against division rivals. They're off tonight before they travel to Brooklyn tomorrow night to face the Nets in a game you can hear live right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The pregame is at 7. The Maple Leafs have the night off, fresh off winning back-to-back games in New York on Friday and in Ottawa on Saturday. They host the Sabres tomorrow night on Sportsnet Ontario. Pregame at 7. And down under, Dean, in Australia, Eugenie Bouchard is in action against Luisa Chirico of the U.S. She's up 5-love in the first set.
And let me just say this. Because it was on TV earlier. I said I didn't want to watch ladies tennis. It's not ladies tennis I didn't want to watch. It was ladies that were playing. I don't want to watch tennis this morning. I want to see highlights. I want my memory to be jogged by the weekend with which it was. Leafs, couple big wins. Raps, couple big wins. Jose, apparently, maybe part of the Blue Jays fray yet again. So that's what I want to watch, just to further your point.
Well, there's two televisions. Maybe I'll put the one on the right on tennis.
No, because that has the weather. I need the weather. 717. Right anyway. Now, the all right. Just change the channel.
TVO Kids is on, and I love it.
Anyway, lots going on right now. It is minus one. We'll get to three later on today. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. This hour is brought to you by our friends over at Jack Link's Hangry Moments. You're not hungry, you're hangry. Grab a bag of Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side. Welcome to the program. Host of the NHL on Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. Our friend and yours, Jeff Merrick. Mr. Merrick, how are you, sir?
Dean, good morning. George, good morning. How are you boys today?
Good. To take a phrase or a hashtag from our friends at Leaf Nation, yes. Hashtag Leafs are actually good, sir.
8-0-2 in their last 10 on the road. That's not too bad. Rangers in Ottawa. You know, if you're going to make the playoffs, you need a .500 record on the road. That's generally the rule of thumb. You need a .915 save percentage from your goaltending. And they're getting that. Like, that's the remarkable thing about the Maple Leafs. Like, walking into this season, Dean, did you ever think to yourself, you know, you may get some surprises along the way. Auston Matthews competing for the Calder. Freddie Anderson turns it around on us. Did you think that they would have more wins on the road than losses?
No.
Going into this season, considering the nature of matchups on the road? That's the one thing that really stands out for me so far this season, punctuated by the pair against the Rangers and the Sens on the weekend. Just how flat-out good this team has been when they don't dictate the line changes.
You know, and
line matchups, rather.
Well, and that's the thing, is that you don't have to dictate the line matchups because you got three good ones, right? I mean, you know, when we look back to what Pittsburgh did last year in the playoffs, and they put it together when they found three lines that could kill you, all three of them. And and when you find three lines that can produce, that can score, that back check, that buy into the system, and you're led by one of the most electric young men in the game, and you've got other guys like Mike Babcock said was it 2-3 weeks ago, maybe even more, you know, why don't you put Marner and Matthews together? He's like, I got a guy that drives his own line, why would I do that? You know, and then you look at the production you're getting from really six guys that'll probably stand to have about 53, 54 points between Matthews, Kadri, Nylander, Van Riemsdyk, Bozak, and Marner. You know, you're looking at a very, very deep team. And so, obviously, those matchups that you want, the lineup, you know, you can try and match up with their best team, over their best line or their best player, but there are a whole bunch of other players on this team that'll kill you in regard.
Isn't this the lesson of 2016-2017? And I think you prefaced it properly by talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins and how they won the Stanley Cup last year. When you get a chance to upgrade and scale, no matter what line it's on, you do it. And that's what's helped propel the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, it was goodbye to players like Jared Bohl and Gregory Campbell, and it was hello to Lucas Sedlak and Sam Gagner and Scott Hartnell. That's their fourth line. Mm-hmm. So this idea, this traditional idea that we've always had about this is what your bottom six need to do, this is what a third line does, this is what a fourth line does. I think more than anything right now in the NHL, I think the mantra, and Pittsburgh won a Stanley Cup based on this, good goaltending as well, is whenever you can upgrade in skill, no matter how minute, you do it. You know, I know that Matt Martin is still there and he serves a purpose on that team, but Freddie Gauthier is playing good too. Mm-hmm. Nikita Shoshnikov, like every single chance the Maple Leafs get now to upgrade in skill, they do it. And I think that's what smart teams, whether it's the Blue Jackets this year, whether it's Columbus last year, whether it's the surprising Carolina Hurricanes right now, that's what you need to do to be successful in the NHL today.
So let me ask you a question about that then, because what we've seen with this team specifically lately is, you know, they got outshot on the weekend. Both games they were outshot. Mm-hmm. And both games they played particularly well, and they took advantage of their opportunities. No team better than that, and a better testament than that than Columbus. They're maybe the most efficient team when it comes to scoring when they have a chance on the power play or what have you.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question then. When it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, watching what they did, and it might be a little move, but a stupid move, and getting better at every position and knowing how efficient they've been, but getting better at every position, Curtis McElhinney played an unbelievable game the other night and was one of the reasons why they won. Can we not look at a little move like that where you go, ah, it's just a backup goaltender, who cares? But a little move like that, that the Toronto Maple Leafs are not in the who cares if we boot this game because we get a better draft pick, but they're starting to believe by making a little move like that, that those games that Freddie Anderson can't play, they still value.
Yeah, they need, I mean, they're going to kill Freddie Anderson if he's going to play every game. I mean, there's just not a chance. They need someone that can come in there and can, if you're not going to make a save, at least stand, and McElhinney's a big goaltender, at least stand in front of the puck and block some shots and give the team a chance. Now, Curtis McElhinney's, you know, background up until now has been, you know, not exactly spectacular. There have been stretches where he's been okay, but by and large, the save percentage, you know, isn't anything to rave about by any stretch. But it's tough to find a good backup netminder right now. No one's letting go of goaltenders. And, you know, you saw what happened again. We'll bring up the Pittsburgh example. Marc-Andre Fleury goes down. Here comes Matt Murray. They win the Stanley Cup. Like, you need two goaltenders along the way. Once your top guy doesn't get burned out. Hello, Braden Holtby last year in Washington. And, you know, not just that, but two, in order to pick up those wins along the way. I'm not sure that Curtis McElhinney, I mean, that was a great game that he played on Saturday. I agree with you 100%. I'm not sure that we're going to see that consistently out of Curtis McElhinney, and that's just based on history.
Jeff, all the headlines get, it's Marner, it's Matthews, it's Nylander, and what they're doing, Kadri and Van Riemsdyk have been great. But I think the blue line's played a lot better lately, and I don't think we're talking enough about Jake Gardner, because all in all, Jeff, I think he's had a pretty damn good season.
With you. I think that's one of the secrets about this Maple Leafs team is the defense isn't as bad as everyone says they are. Do they have the number one guy? Well, no, they don't have a Brent Burns back there. They don't have, you know, a Roman Josi back there. They don't have, you know, they don't have that top dog, Drew Doughty. He's not there, Victor Hedman. But they have a group that can move the puck. And basically your top four, can do that. Riley can certainly do that. Zaitsev has been a nice, pleasant surprise. I think he's up around, might be, last time I checked, he was still number one in ice time for rookie defensemen in the NHL. I'm with you on Jake Gardner, too. And I know, you know, sometimes the turnovers are spectacular, and those are the obvious ones. And that's the, you know, easy, you know, Twitter criticism. Oh, another turnover by Jake Gardner. Oh, this guy's a turnover machine. Oh, you got to get rid of him. But when you look at what Jake Gardner creates, like, we always talk about percentages. And if you have a defenseman that can create 15 scoring opportunities but costs you five, you're still plus 10 on the game. And I'll take that because that's how you win Stanley Cups. I understand the turnovers. He's a high-risk player. But I'll still take those percentages that Jake Gardner delivers every day of the week.
Mm. So let me ask you this then. Obviously, there's holes to fill, and they're on the back end. Offensively speaking, the team's much better than we probably give them credit for. One of the better offensive teams, specifically 5-on-5, I believe they are the best in production, or maybe Austin Matthews specifically has he scored the most 5-on-5 in the NHL. But at the same time, you know, it's still a really good team, even strength. So what is it that they need to do, or what do you want to see from the Toronto Maple Leafs, knowing that they wake up this morning in a wild card spot, knowing that legitimately they have one of the best offenses in the NHL? What would you like to see them do between now and the trade deadline that maybe give them the opportunity to be successful, to make a playoff run, or at the same time be able to kind of shore it up for the future?
I don't think you do anything. I still think this is a development year. I think the fact that they're in a playoff spot is nice, but I think it's bonus. I don't think, you know, many expected them to be outside of the coaching staff and the players. I don't think many expected them to be in this position. I'd still be sensitive about, you know, even throwing away a second round draft pick to try to bring someone in.
Really?
And I do understand, but having said that, I do understand, Dean, the idea that, you know, considering the performance that you've received from Matthews and Brown and Kadri, Nylander, go right down the line, considering the performances that they have delivered, you could make the argument that you owe them a move to push them over the top a little bit for as far as a playoff push or to do something in the playoffs. I do understand that, but I don't think you can still lose sight of the big picture here. This is still not a team that's anywhere close to competing for the Stanley Cup, and there's no point in taking one step forward for this season if it's going to cost you two steps backwards. So even if the Maple Leafs go into trade deadline and just move Roman Pollock and then pick up a second round draft pick, if I'm a Maple Leafs fan, I'm totally fine with that.
Appreciate you doing this, Jeff. Have a wonderful day.
Always. Thanks, guys.
Okay, man. Take care. Jeff Merrick, NHL on Sportsnet. Brought to you by our friends at McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora, 726. Mitch Lawrence, host of Sirius XM NBA, on the Raps, giving it to the Knicks and the Nets this weekend. How bad are the Knicks, really? And any shot, any at all, at a Boogie Cousins. That's next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:32. Hi there. Lots going on. Mitch Lawrence, Sirius XM NBA. He will join us coming up next. Also writes for Forbes and the Sporting News. We'll talk about the Raps weekend. We'll talk Sullinger. Will he make a difference when he comes back? He's close. And Boogie Cousins signing an extension or become a Toronto Raptor. Pardon me. Lots going on. Anyway, Mitch Lawrence standing by. Hold on. That's coming up next. Yes, Ryan Fabro.
Let's update a poll question we just put up. Four great quarterbacks left in the NFL playoffs. Who would you want for your team in the remaining two games? Early leader, Aaron Rodgers, 45%, 44% say Tom Brady, 6% Big Ben, and 5% for Matt Ryan.
Matty Ice.
Getting no respect. I guess that's what happens when you're, 2-4 in the playoffs? Yeah. But, man, was he good against Seattle. So there you go. Go vote. Pretty lucky with these matchups, I think, for most NFL fans. So there you go.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. Next weekend's going to be a great weekend for quarterbacks. Just in general, a great weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great weekend.
Great weekend.
Great weekend this morning. Great weekend this weekend. Great lots of things to watch. Man. Great time of year.
7:33, Ms. Lawrence.
Play the drop, Mon.
Standing by. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Niagara Falls View Casino. The tweet happened around 11:30 last night. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com had this quote. Source, Blue Jays have emerged as the front runner for Jose Bautista. He's nearing a deal with the club. And once we find out, you'll find out. Hey, last night it was the Packers beating the Cowboys in a thriller in Dallas, 34-31 to advance to the NFC Championship game, while the Steelers held off the Chiefs in Kansas City, 18-16. They'll play the Patriots in the AFC title game next weekend. Raptors beat up on the Knicks 116-101 at the ACC yesterday. They're in Brooklyn to square off against the Nets tomorrow night right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Leafs have the night off. They host the Sabres tomorrow night in a game you can watch on Sportsnet Ontario with the pregame at 7. And Eugenie Bouchard in action down under. She's up a set and a break on Luisa Chirico of the States, 6-love, 2-1.
Thank you, sir. It is 7:34. Always a pleasure. Welcome back to the program. One of my favorite guests, host of SiriusXM NBA, also contributes to Forbes and the Sporting News. He writes basketball. Please welcome to the program Mitch Lawrence. Mitch, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great, but I need to help you rephrase your little poll question.
Yeah. Okay,
the poll question should be this. If you can't get Tom Brady, which of the following quarterbacks would you get to start your team? Guys, please.
Yeah. Well,
Tom Brady is the quarterback.
But Mitch, I don't disagree with you. Prior to putting that poll question up, I said, I think we should remove Tom Brady from the question.
Thank you.
And they said, no, it's the last four quarterbacks. And I don't disagree. Surprise, surprise. Everybody seems to want Aaron Rodgers behind center.
Off of what he did last night, that's great. But, I mean, the track record of Tom Brady, you're not taking him over Aaron Rodgers. You're taking him over Joe Montana, maybe. How about that?
But I wouldn't. This is the thing, is if you take away everybody's track record and you just go by, today, right now,
right.
This season, 2016, 2017, which guy would you want? It's a toss-up, but...
Because
Brady played way better than Aaron Rodgers did
Brady
full season.
Had two interceptions going into the other night when he had one. I mean, he had the greatest ratio of touchdown to interceptions in the history of the league. He ain't slowing down.
I know. That's why I should take him out.
Rephrase the question. That's all you have to do.
I don't think
you can't get Eli Manning. Who would you take?
Mitch, I really like you. I don't think we're going to go back and rephrase the question.
Okay, all right, don't rephrase it. But I had to mention that because one of the tweets out of your guys' places, I'm talking NFL. I'm glad I'm talking NFL. I don't want to talk about the Knicks. Good God.
Yeah, we watched that yesterday. Tough weekend for New York area teams. The Nets got it handed to them by about 50 the night before. Well, I know.
They're not an NBA team.
Is there anything more frustrating than looking at the names on the back of those Knicks jerseys, watching them call their own number and clear everybody out and play ISO hero ball, watch Jeff Hornacek walk back to the bench shaking his head every time Rose and Melo do that, and then watching them walk out of here losing by 16 or 15, and then, of course, watching what happened against Philly a couple of days ago. Like, what is this just the most dysfunctional NBA team despite their record in the NBA?
I'll tell you what. I think they've reclaimed that title from the Kings. They gave it to the Kings for a while, but I think it's got to be back in the Knicks. Only over the last week we've seen – I mean, who goes AWOL in this day and age? Their starting point guard did. And then you got Carmelo Anthony flipping out after a loss in Philly, and then you've got this current battle between, it looks like, you know, Phil Jackson had his guy Charlie Rosen, who's a writer and used to be an assistant coach for Phil 100 years ago in the CBA. He wrote this thing which basically said Carmelo's outlived his usefulness in New York, and we all know that's coming from Phil, although Charlie denies it. And now Carmelo's like, well, if they don't want me here in New York, maybe we need to talk, which is the first time in his life that he's actually thought about that publicly. He's not saying he'd waive his no-trade clause, guys. You got to remember that. He's got more power than Phil. But you got that going on. You got the AWOL point guard. You got Porzingis, who can't get on the court because of Achilles. Yeah, and it's a total mess. You're right.
You wonder, too, with a guy like Porzingis. You know, he's got this sore Achilles. He didn't play yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to see him. And I know he's a difference maker because of his size and his skill, pardon me. But you got to wonder if you're Porzingis, and what is he, 21? He's 21 years old, and he's learning this extreme dysfunction from two of the most selfish players in this day and age in the NBA. Yeah. How healthy this is for him when he's first starting his career, and if that's a thought that maybe James Dolan or the rest of the franchise, and I know it's not in Phil Jackson's mind because Phil Jackson's on another existential planet, but you got to wonder if that's concerning for the Knicks.
Concerning for the Knicks or Porzingis? Like, Porzingis would want to leave?
What is he learning? What is Porzingis learning from?
He's learning how not to run a franchise. He's learning how to, you know, I mean, this is not good for Porzingis, and he's got to stay above the fray, and he's got to wait things out because he wants to be in New York. He loves New York, and New York loves him, and he's the future. But I think what he's probably learning is, you know what? We got to get a guy in here who knows how to build a basketball team that can win a championship, and not this Phil Jackson character, because Phil Jackson has been an embarrassment. It's a disgrace what he's doing with this franchise. You know, the Knicks right now, guys, are on a pace to, again, you know, finish below 500, another losing season, probably out of the playoffs. And Phil made all these offseason moves with Dolan's blessings to make the playoffs. They haven't been in the playoffs in 3 years. So, yeah, it's a tough this is not the best thing for a young player. This is not like going into San Antonio or going into Miami or going into a team like that, or even Golden State, where you're in a franchise that knows what it's doing, that has a track record for winning, and everybody's accountable, and it starts at the top of the owner, and every blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's not good to be in a dysfunctional situation. But, you know what, Porzingis is a mature kid, and I think he knows that he's going to have to wait this out.
Mitch, sorry, outside of Porzingis, who deserves to stay in that organization?
Who deserves to stay?
Or who should stay?
No. They need to back up the truck, starting with the team president. James Dolan has to hire somebody who really knows what it is to run a franchise, to build a team. You know, he went, as usually, for the glitz and the glamour of the Phil Jackson name, his legacy, you know, his connections with the Knicks of the past and all that. He was a teammate and roommate of Walt Frazier and back to the 70s. He never built a team. He walks around, feel like he built the Bulls and he built the Lakers. We all know he got the talent, the coach the talent. He did an unbelievable job. He did, 11 rings. But, no, that's where it starts. It starts there, and it's really time for Melo to go. Phil never should have resigned Melo. Once they gave Melo the no-trade clause, you know he wasn't going anywhere because Melo loves to be in New York. Losing doesn't bother him, and he just loves the whole thing of being the king of New York. And the Derrick Rose signing was a mistake. He's on the last year of his deal. And I can, you know, on and on and on. It's just another bad year, another thing for Knicks fans to kind of cry about.
Mitch Lawrence is our guest, host of SiriusXM NBA. Raps win a couple on the weekend. They beat the Knicks handily yesterday. They take out the Nets, which doesn't count. I think you get the Nets on Tuesday again. So a good part of the schedule for the Raptors to try and create some distance between themselves and the Celtics, make up a little ground in the Eastern Conference against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But, you know, still left with that burning question, which is, when Jared Sullinger comes back, is he going to make a difference on the glass, knowing about their rebounding woes? And the other burning question is, you know, is the risk worth the reward in upsetting the chemistry to take a shot now to try, at the very least, try and give yourselves an opportunity via trade to make this team somewhat competitive, or maybe kind of stir up the fan base to get them believing that they can be competitive with the Cavs? Do you think Sullinger's the answer, or do you think they're going to try and do something? Have you heard anything?
Haven't heard anything. I don't think Sullinger's the big answer. He's not going to move the needle. He's not going to upset the apple cart in the East. When he comes back, he'll help, no doubt. If he can stay healthy and stay upright, he's going to help, and he's going to, he'll help obviously against the Bostons of the world and the Atlantas of the world. But Cleveland, he's not going to make a difference. If you're talking about DeMarcus Cousins in terms of a big name thing, my understanding is he's off the board. My understanding is the owner in Sacramento is willing to give him a $207 million extension, which is nuts, to rebuild a team around him, or to continue to build a team around him, because he's a losing player. All they've done out there is lose. He runs off coaches. He's a bully with teammates, and on and on and on. Would a change of scenery help him at the age of 26? I don't know. I kind of tend to doubt it. I think he is what he is. He's a team wrecker. But I think Toronto's going to go forward with what they have. They've got an all-NBA, all-star backcourt, and they've got some nice other pieces, and they're going to take their shot again at Cleveland in a series probably in, late May. The problem is, are they the Indiana of this era, the Indiana that used to knock their heads against the wall against Miami back in, 2012, 13, 14, and come up short against LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade? That's the feeling I get. Toronto is this era's Indiana of that time. Indiana was a very good team, probably better than this Toronto team, and they couldn't make headway against LeBron. Just very, very difficult to do when you're in that situation. So, you know what? I think they're going to stay the course. I think Ujiri and Dwayne Casey have done a great job. The only problem is they're playing a team in Cleveland that has really two of the best closeout players in games in LeBron and Kyrie Irving, and they can't match that.
Appreciate you doing this, Mitch, as always. You have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Tom Brady, guys. That's the guy.
All right, we'll talk to you later. There you go, Mitch Lawrence. SiriusXM NBA talking about our Twitter poll question. Who do you want into this Final Four of the playoffs? Which quarterback? We talked Raptors, too, by the way.
Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers the way he's playing.
Yeah, no kidding.
It has to be.
I don't know. I think if you look at pedigree, Tom Brady's a no-brainer. As good as Aaron Rodgers has played.
It's what have you done for me lately, Dean?
Yeah.
And it's Aaron Rodgers right now.
Well, we'll see. I've tried very few beds. Last bed I bought, not comfortable. Girlfriend complains all the time.
That's not
so. We got
life.
A new one. And you didn't have to try 20 beds. You didn't have to go to the bed store or whatever. I got to just lay down on this one, lay down on that. No, I don't know. No one knows. That's why I got a Casper mattress. Casper makes a single perfect mattress. Best part is they let you sleep on it in your own house for 100 nights to decide if you like it. See, bad relationships aren't like that.
It's true.
I can tell you this. Mattresses are from Casper. A dedicated team of engineers and designers developed a sleep surface that's both supportive and breathable, and it's cool. You know you get hot at night? Don't get hot at night on this thing. It's unbelievable.
Sweaty man, Dean.
Well, you wouldn't be in a Casper mattress. Nearly 500,000 customers. Over 20,000 global reviews, an average of 4.8 stars. Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress, definitely my favorite mattress, and I actually mean that. Casper ships directly from their facilities in Canada, and they let you try the mattress for 100 nights in your own home, risk-free, with free shipping and free returns. If you don't like it, they'll pick it up free of charge, give you a full refund. Where do you live? Do you live in Nunavut? You can get it there for free. You don't like it? They'll pick it up for free after you try it for 100 days because they want to make sure you like it. You won't need to send it back. I can guarantee you I will not be sending mine back. It is unbelievable. Believe me, you're going to love this mattress as much as I do. A Casper mattress. Start your 100-night trial for free. Free shipping, free returns. Go to casper.ca. Use code LATE for a $65 credit towards your mattress purchase. That's Casper.ca, code late, terms and conditions apply. Again, get your Casper mattress. If you don't like it, return it, and they'll deliver it and take it for free. 7:45, we've got some tickets to go see the Leafs and your fail of the day coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
You know, when a franchise moves from one city to another, disrupting the lives of many fans, you don't think about certain parts of that. You know, like I don't think about what a tailgater is going to do with their homemade hibachi. I definitely didn't think, what are you going to do about that Chargers tattoo? Apparently, there's lots of them. And in San Diego, Evolve Tattoo Removal said that they're going to take off any Chargers tattoo for just $100 as opposed to what would normally cost a couple of thousand because they feel the pain of Chargers fans. However, you got to wait months and months and months because they're so backed up.
Really?
That they can't get to people fast enough. Insert then the tattoo artists who say, oh, you know what? We'll cover up your tattoo with something else. It's a Bolt tattoo, a Chargers tattoo, any other kind of San Diego Charger reference tattoo. We'll cover it up for you at a 50% discount, but you're going to have to wait between 3 and 6 months because they're backed up too because people are so pissed. This is a great, great reason for you to never get a tattoo of your favorite team. It's a great reason. A, you just, it ends up looking like what appears to be a road apple by the time you're 17 on your forearm or wherever you have it. The other part of it is, if your team moves, you're screwed.
It's like a lot.
It's like those tattoos you get when you think your team's going to win a championship and they don't.
Oof.
And then you go, oh, man, we're up 3-1 in the series.
Dean, how many people in this city, remember when the Maple Leafs had that awful TML symbol?
Yeah.
It was like, you know, futuristic looking. How many people got that tattooed on their body and the Leafs don't even use that symbol anymore?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Anyway, so not only is that part of the deal, but apparently the introduction to the team not going well in the Los Angeles area as they've changed the logo on social media not once, not twice, but three times now.
Yeah, I don't even know what's the real logo
I
anymore.
Don't
I'm totally confused by
it. You have to wait and see until the very first game that they play to find out what the real logo is. But Jeff Cumberland, do you know who he is?
Yep.
Jeff Cumberland, a backup tight end for the Chargers. He went to a Clippers game this weekend, and they were introducing Jeff Cumberland. He was, you know, sitting sideline now here at the Clippers game, the Los Angeles Chargers, the brand new Los Angeles Chargers tight end. Jeff Cumberland is here, ladies and gentlemen. Have a listen to the reception he got at the Clippers game. the dude's a backup tight end, so his life isn't great anyway. And they go, hey, we got front row tickets to the Clippers game. We want to introduce you to the city of Los Angeles. And he's like, that sounds great. I'm a hero. Ladies and gentlemen, from your brand new Los Angeles Chargers, Jeff Cumberland.
And he's waving. The whole time he's waving to the crowd. And there are like 20,000 people going,
and it's
do you hear that guy? Man, is he a loser? Did you hear that in the back?
It's extra
not a
harsh.
Great start.
These are Clippers fans too. Generally speaking, for years, you've been the biggest losers ever, and Clippers fans are disrespecting them too.
Yeah.
It's not like it was at the Laker game. At least you know the Laker fans. Clippers fans even hate you. And they've been losers for years.
Good point. When fans of the Clipper fan base think you're a loser of a franchise. You probably are a bunch of losers.
I'm surprised. Wouldn't you think they would be apathetic about the Chargers? Not angry and hostile. I'm amazed.
Well, let's have a listen.
Okay. No, don't hear apathy there at all.
No.
Just pure hatred for whatever reason. It's going to be a tough market to crack. 7:55, that is your fill of the day. We'll share it with you at its Dean Blundell. I want to give you some tickets. The Sportsnet 590 The Fan ticket window brought to you by our friends at Northern Financial. Tickets to go and see Leafs Sens Saturday night. Caller number two gets the tickets, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Tiki Barber will break down this week's NFL matchups and what to look forward to next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.